A reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of, which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Walk with me to the well in Samaria. There she is, the Samaritan woman, reaching in to the water. We don't know where she started that day. When she woke up, did she expect this dry and lifeless and all alone kind of trip to the well? This woman, She's been set aside, cast out by 5 men. For by Mosaic law, it is the husband who divorces the wife. 5 times. As we stand next to her, she looks down, down into the cistern, where the water is so far away. A man is sitting there. He says to her, "Give me a drink." In that opening encounter, Jesus offers her a trickle of mercy. He entrusts her with his need in a hand of friendship. She doesn't see it that way. She spits back, "Who are you? You are a Jew. You don't even have a bucket." Like the Israelites in the reading from Exodus who grumble, "Why did you bring us out to the desert to die of thirst? Don't you care?" Are we so very different? We sometimes also spit back, "Where are you, Lord, in the troubles of this world? Where are you?" You and me, even if we are in a good space personally, the current world is not. We can't save the Syrian baby boy lying on the beach in Turkey. In the troubles of this world, we ask, "Lord, where are you? You want me to give you a drink?" The troubles of this world can dry out and suck the hope out of this woman and out of us. And no matter our strength to handle it, it's just not enough. Where do we turn? In spite of her spitback, Jesus doesn't give up on this woman in this encounter. He tells her, "Whoever drinks this water that I will give will never thirst again." Now that's too good to be true. His offer of water begins to lap around her ankles. He says, "The water that I will give will become a spring of water welling up within you to eternal life." "Give me that, yes, so that I may not be thirsty and have to come back here." His offer of the living water is growing waist deep. In this encounter with the one who is the living water, she's starting to feel the flow of joy. She's starting to want that indwelling spirit. Can you feel it? As we stand with her, are you starting to want it too? But Jesus doesn't give it to her. He changes the subject. The river of life can't flow because there's a dam in the middle of it. In a few quick questions, he lays bare the logs of resentment and sin and pain of her marriages and her religion. She feels like he can see right through her. What's blocking the flow of living water for us? When we begin to open up to Jesus, he lays us bare too. We might be tempted to pull back and say, "Nah, well, you know, forget it, that's okay. I'm doing pretty well on my own," and walk away. But with feelings of helplessness and with no idea where the future is going and with no peace in sight, where do we find the strength to do what needs to be done, to be who we are called to be? Today's reading from Romans says, "While we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly." Lent is the time for conversion, the time to let go of the log jams of bitterness and anger and fear, to surrender to Jesus' offer of healing. That's Lent. To recognize our need for a Savior, that's the beginning of liberation. No matter our strength, it is still not enough. And so here comes the offer, the great wave that changes everything, the grand gift. And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus entrusts her with the good news. "I am he, the one speaking with you." Yes, the Messiah will come. "I who speak to you am he." What happens when he says, "I am he"? The story doesn't say, but from her response, that living water wells up to an absolute gush. It so swells up within her that the log jams float away and she is filled to overflowing. One of the overarching themes of the Gospel of John is this abundance, not a stingy, tight-fisted God who condemns the world, but a God of generosity who wants to give life. Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly." So the Samaritan woman is abundantly full. She has to run. She has to tell. She leaves her water jar and runs as fast as she can, overflowing with the river of living water burbling within her. She has to tell someone about this Jesus, even those back in her own village. As she runs, the words of the Savior ring in her ears. I, who speak to you, am he. I am he. When she gets there, she yells, come, come and see. He told me everything I ever did. Come, come and see him. He entrusted her with the gift of living water. In return, she didn't just give him back a drink of water. She came back with the gift of a whole village. Not on her own strength, but overflowing, running on God's power. What we have on our own, it's not enough. Jesus offers us living water. He asks us to meet him, to spit back at him, and then surrender our objections, our resentments, and our log jams. And then to be filled by that encounter, to meet him in prayer, to meet him in the liturgy and in the Eucharist, to meet him in the created world, and to meet him in the love of the community. Jesus entrusts us with living water. For in this place, in this time, he is looking for disciples who will also allow the river of the Holy Spirit to run deep and rich and strong. God's power is enough. Can you feel it swelling up within you? Do you want it? God's generosity making space for you in spite of your sins and difficulties and pushback. For the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Jesus says, give me a drink. He entrusts his thirst to us. He trusts us with his need. He trusted the Samaritan woman with the news that he was the Savior. He entrusts his mission to us. Each one of us has a purpose on this earth. Here at the well, we encounter Jesus so as to be filled. Give me a drink, he says to you and to me. But Lord, you don't even have a bucket. He says, as you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. And so we stand next to others who look down into the cistern where the water is so far away. We have much to do and much to say, but not on our own strength, empowered by the river who is life. If we only know who it is who asks this of us, a sense of awe, a sense of wonder can fill us, for living water flows from the source of life. It grows from the cistern to a trickle, to a brook, over the dams, to the river, and unto the great sea of Easter. Can you see it? Do you believe it? Living water sparkles in the distance like a great ocean in the sunlight. Can you picture it? We are not dry and lifeless and all alone. Easter is coming. We are still on the river flowing that direction, not there yet, but Easter is coming, and it will be enough. The Easter of this Lent, the Easter of today's strength, the Easter of tomorrow's everlasting life, the great ocean of Easter. That is the source of our hope. That is the source of our strength. Can you feel it? Do you want it? Overflow within us, Lord of life, so that we can overflow to others. Come, Holy Spirit.